nothing, brother.
Okay, I guess we're ready to go then. All right. Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be back here again at Great Falls, and we're always excited about it, always happy to be here. And I don't know why so many years went by without us being here, but it is certainly good to be back. I am beginning to feel a little led to become a member of Heritage Baptist Church. I really wasn't aware of that little clause in the support, but that does kind of give me a little more motivation to join your church. So we are really happy to be here. Let's look over the book of Acts here. We're going to spend a few minutes this evening as we kind of wrap up what we've been thinking about this week. And really what I want to work on now is really going into action. You know, we listen, we hear, we get excited. A lot of good things happen. And now it's time for action. Next week we go back to the regular church services. Next week there won't be a missionary here to remind us of what we're supposed to be doing. And we're going to have to be into action now on what we're doing. Acts chapter 1, a very familiar portion of Scripture where the Great Commission is found. And I do want to read a little bit about that as well. Verse number 4, if you'd follow along with me in your Bible, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." But Lord, the Lord is going to return again. And we're looking forward to that day. But you know, until that day, we have a job to do. Until he comes back and takes into heaven, we've got to get the gospel out. A lot of people are depending on us and relying on us. If we can't hold it up, if we can't get the gospel out, people will not hear. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, and I want us to think about that this evening. Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving you again today. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful time we've had in your house. It's wonderful to be in your house. Lord, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts once again. Thank you for what you've done now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we think about this time of the Great Commission, this time where Jesus now is giving the apostles what's going to be going on and how they're going to get it done, just before he ascended up to heaven, we realize just a little over a month before that was the week of Passion, and we just finished up Easter kind of thinking about that. The week of Passion began with the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the people received him as king. Within one week's period, he went from being the king to being put on a cross, to being put into a tomb, and then 3 days later, rising again out of that tomb, all in one week's time. We realize the apostles, they were fearful, and they fled, they left him. They didn't know what to expect. They thought they were going to get crucified as well. And so they didn't know what the future would bring. You know, many times that's our problem in Christianity. We become fearful, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. I've heard people say, well, Brother Collins, the economy is really shaky right now. The salaries are going down rather than going up. The expenses are going up instead of going down. Things are getting harder to do. And, you know, we just need to hang on to our money. You know, folks, we need to give while we can give. The day may come where we can't give. But while we can, we better be faithful in what he's told us to do. And, you know, I realize the leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was leaving them. Not really. They just thought so. He was leaving the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's a wonderful study about what the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that lives within us, and the difference he has made in our lives. And you realize now his last command being the Great Commission. I want to look at a few things here this evening with the few minutes we have. First of all, I want us to realize that we need to be in the right place. Verse number 4 says, "And being assembled together with him, with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." What we realize, first of all, is they went to a place that was appointed unto them. And though Jesus Christ told them where to wait, and they were waiting, and then Jesus appeared unto them. After he rose from the dead, he appeared in that appointed place. Folks, we need to, first of all, be in the right place. And you know, being in the right place means being in the appointed place. Folks, we need to realize, as we think about that, we realize the church. We must be connected to the church to be able to fulfill the great commandment. We must be connected to the church to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. I've heard people say, and falsely so, that I can serve God just as well in my home as I can in the church. I can be just as good of a Christian in my home as I can be in the church. Now, we need to realize that's a lie from the devil. You cannot be as good of a Christian in your home as you can be in the church. Why? Because Christ died for the church. Because Christ established the church. This isn't just some gathering that we come up with and something we designed. No, this is what Jesus left for us. If you're not in the place that He's appointed us to be in, we cannot fulfill God's design in our life. It's impossible. It's impossible. You'll not have any part of getting the gospel to the world. Now, you may sit in your living room and think, well, I'm watching this church and this guy on TV, and I can send him my tithe. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, that's not getting the missionaries to the foreign field. I promise you that. That's going to do nothing for Brother Peyton and his family to get him to Nicaragua. That's going to have nothing to do with get the missionaries anywhere. You may do that, or it'll pad something, it'll take care of something, but it won't get the gospel out like it will through the local church. Folks, we need to realize it's the appointed place. And by the way, it's not just any church. It's your appointed church. You know, many people believe you can just simply choose a church that you like. That's not true as well. God has a place in which you should be a part of. And by the way, finding a good church is not all that easy. The Peytons know as well as I know, traveling around the country right now, the churches are getting fewer and far between that you could actually be a part of. You know, getting yourself to where you become a part of a church is not an easy task. Many times people think, well, I can just leave this church and go across town and it'll be just as good. It may not be just as good. You may think it could be just as good. You may think you can do just well, but many times you can't do just as well. You think, well, I could leave this area and go to a new area and there'll be no problem at all. Folks, we need to realize it needs to be around the local church, not the local church around us. It needs to be around God and not God around us. He needs to have the appointed place in it. God has a place for you, and that's an appointed place. You know, when God calls, your appointed place changes. You know, I love the First Baptist Church of Milford, Ohio. That was my home church. That was the church that I grew up in. I was in a Sunday school class, had my Sunday school class, built a Sunday school class. I worked on the bus route. I went to the Bible college there. I was extremely happy with my church until God called me. Now it's not home anymore. Home's a new area. You know, when a missionary leaves, he leaves his appointed place to go and build a new appointed place. That's the call of God. Many God-called men are out of place because they've not gone to the new appointed place. That's the area that God has. You know, we need to realize we need to be in the proper place at the proper hour. You know, when we think of our church today, when should we be here? Well, when the doors are open. When should we be here? Well, when something's happening. When should we be here? Well, we need to get something done. Be in God's place in the proper time. This is a good one for the Mexican community. Be on time. Not just be here, be on time. I had a young couple in our church, and they came in about 10 minutes late, and as soon as the amen was done, I rushed to the back, and seldom can I get there before they're out. If I do, I'm normally grabbing them by the collar and to be able to shake his hand. And then he had the gall the other day to say, you know, our church is not very friendly.
Hello.
I said, you don't even give our church a chance to be friendly. I mean, you're coming in late, you're leaving early, you're not around anybody, and then you think we don't have a friendly church. Folks, we need to be in our place, we need to be on time. We need to be prepared.
Amen.
Be prepared. You know, we need to be prayed up instead of fought up.
Right.
You know, a lot of times coming to church, boy, the arguments break out and the excitement happens there. And then we come to church, try to quickly put on a smile, and now we're in God's house. We need to come prepared. We need to have our Bible open, not dusted off, but already dusted off. We need to have a pen in our hand. We need to have a paper ready for God to give us something. Why? Because we're in God. We need to be waiting, expecting God to meet with you, meet with me in His house. Folks, we need to be in that proper place. If we're going to make a difference in the world, it starts by being in the right place. Secondly, we need to not be distracted. Folks, we live in a world today that is nothing but distractions. Look with me, if you would, here, verse number 6. It said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, folks didn't realize they were distracted. Now, what was happening here? Well, what was happening is right now focus around verse number 8. Okay, verse number 8 is the focal point. It's the pinnacle. Everything in this scripture in this chapter is revolving around verse number 8. Verse number 8 being the Great Commission, that's what this church is revolving around. I heard what someone say the other day, if it were not for the Great Commission, the church would have no reason for existence.
Right.
I believe that.
Right.
If we did not have the Great Commission, there'd be no reason to be here today. That's the focal point. Now, through that, a lot of things happen. But we realize that's where it is. When they get there, they start talking, hey, Lord, are you going to set up the kingdom now? Another scripture we can find out, they begin to talk about, who's going to be in your right hand? Who's going to be on the left? What position am I going to have? What are you going to give me when I get up there? Now, folks, we need to realize that's being distracted on what it is. What position am I going to have? Now, in verse number 7, we see that he begins to answer that question. And I'll just put it in my words. In my words, he basically said, it's none of your business. Now, Jesus is a little bit nicer. He said, all the times, see, that's in the Father's hand. What he's basically saying is, mind your own business. But what goes on many times is we mind other businesses instead of the business that He's giving us to do. Instead of worrying about what we ought to do, we start worrying about what others ought to do. Instead of worrying about where we're at, we begin to worry about where others are at. We become distracted in the job that we have. Now, folks, if we're going to be continually, we're going to be faithful this year in our Faith Promise mission, we're going to have to not be distracted. We're going to be very focused on what's going on. We're going to have to remember next Sunday morning, bring our faith promise.
Amen.
Bring our missions offering. Bring our tithe. Bring it to God's house. We're going to have to remember there's missionaries out there waiting, relying. That they need the help. They need a place to go. And we're going to have to do that. What we need is not be distracted. You know, many times in our lives, we begin to worry about, well, how are we going to make ends meet? Who's going to provide for us? How are we going to make it if we increase what we're giving? Now, folks, I'll be nice about it, but let me just put it this way. It's none of your business. It's not your business if you're going to make it. It's your business to be obedient. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things is He talking about? He's talking about raiment. He's talking about food. He's talking about money. What we need to realize is our business is to be concerned about God's business. God's business is to worry about our business. Folks, many times we get that turned around and we start concerning about ourselves. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be obedient. Obedient. Let God meet our needs. So we realize that we need to get our focus in the right area. We need to be focused in what God has. We don't want to get distracted, because when we get distracted, then we start failing on the job that's before us. We start failing what we need to be doing in the world that's out there. Folks, we look at that now. We're thinking about this Great Commission. We're thinking about what we have going on. First of all, be in the right place. Second of all, don't be distracted. Number three, we realize the Great Commission. What a wonderful word. I like that word, Great Commission. A commission in the military, know the terms of commissioned men. What commissioning is. Folks, we are commissioned. God has given us a much greater job than just simply working for Him. We're commissioned. You know, the final words of our Lord are the most important words of our Lord. You know, we can go through the Bible and find a lot the Lord Jesus said. We need to realize His final words are the most important. You know, when I'm at home, my wife and I and my daughter and I, we do a lot of communicating, a lot of talking. But if I'm going to go on a trip, we need to realize my final words are probably my most important words. Those are the words that I'm giving some instructions on. Marty, don't forget this and don't forget that. And make sure we get this done and that done. And Angela, I want you to take care of this or take care of that. That's the last words. And then from there, we hug each other, we kiss, and we make our way off. Now, folks, we realize Jesus now is getting ready to ascend up to heaven. For 3.5 years now, He had the apostles following Him, the apostles doing whatever He said. Their apostles were just obedient and following along, and now something's going to happen. The leader is getting ready to leave. The leader now is turning over the leadership to some new men. So His final words are the most important words we'll find. And you know what? Jesus had a lot of important words in the Bible. A lot of things He said were wonderful. But folks, we need to realize the most important is the Great Commission. The most important is the assignment He's leaving to us. The most important is what we're to be occupying in until He comes back. Folks, we're given the commandment to occupy till I come. You think about that word occupy. Occupy does not mean just simply be here. Occupy, again, is a military term. We talk about occupying a place. That means going in, setting up base, setting up the work, getting things ready. We're going to occupy. We're going to possess what God's given us. Folks, that's what we're to be doing on this earth. Occupying, winning people to Him, enlarging our ranks, getting more people heading toward heaven, get more people involved in the same work that you and I are involved in. The Great Commission, the Great Commission. Folks, we need to realize the word that's used here, number one, in our Acts chapter 1, is talking about the word witness. And you shall be witnesses. What is a witness? Well, a witness is one that is seen. A witness is one that is heard. A witness is one that has experienced. Folks, if we haven't experienced the gospel, we have nothing to say about the gospel. If we haven't experienced the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have nothing to talk to somebody about the indwelling of Christ. But when the Lord Jesus Christ takes our lives and makes our lives His, now we have something to witness about. You know, witnessing is about talking about what God has done for me. Folks, when I talk to people about Christ, I normally, just about every time that I talk to somebody about Christ, I tell them what Christ has done for me.
Amen. That's right.
A witness. You know, what Christ has done for me, Christ can do for you. Christ took a lot of things out of my life. Christ can take a lot of things out of your life. Christ put a lot of things in my life. Christ can put a lot of things in your life. Christ gave me hope. Christ can give you hope. You know, we're a witness of what Christ has done for us. We realize another word that's used in the Great Commission. We can find it over in Matthew chapter 28. We can also find it in Mark chapter 16. And that's the word go. Go. Heard a preacher preach one time in that passage. Instead of using the word go, he changed it to as you're going. Now, with all due respect, he took the word out of context. It's not as you're going. As you're going is a witness. Going is a direct word. We are to go. What does that mean? That's a command. That means on purpose, go. On purpose, send someone in our place. On purpose, getting the gospel to the people in our area. There in Los Mochis, we moved into that city. Now it's been, I guess, about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. Moved into that city not knowing anybody. 500,000 people, large city. And my son and I and my wife and daughter, we began to knock doors. And really kind of defeating. As we started knocking doors, you know, you could basically turn around after a couple of weeks and see where we started. I mean, we'll never get through this city knocking doors. And then one of the men I won to Christ the very first service, and he still is my right-hand man to this day down in Los Mochis. Wonderful man. Abundio is his name. But he came up one day, and I mean, he just barely got saved. And he knew that we were going out on Saturday morning, and he said, "Hey, can I go with you?" You know, of course, I announce every service we have door knocking, but they don't always catch that. And he said, "Can I go with you?" "Well, yeah, I think I can fit you in if you'd like to go." And so he started going with us. And then others started going with us. And we started multiplying ourselves. We started getting into more little subdivisions and areas of the city. And after about 4 years, we got to clear to the other side of the city to the last door in that city. Man, that was exciting. Every door had somebody knock. Every door had a Gospel of John and Romans or a tract placed in that door. Every door had the best we could get to that door had been completed. Folks, then we started the next time around. What am I saying, folks? As we go, we have to be determined and decided that we're going to go. Many times we get overwhelmed. Brother Collins, I don't know what I'd say if I did go. You know what? It's all right. If you feel timid and backward, I know one man that said, "Man, I couldn't say a word." And he'd just take a track and kind of hold it out, and as soon as they took it, turn around and run. I mean, he was afraid to death of people. Now he talks to people quite regularly, by the way. Being involved, it's a purposeful work. We need to go. That's part of the Great Commission. Then we realize another word that's used in there, and that's the word all nations. Every creature. What does that mean? Everybody. Folks, until everybody's heard, we have not completed our task. It's an identified place. We realize that this entire world needs to hear about Jesus. So we look this evening. First of all, we realize that we need to be in the right place. Secondly, we realize that we don't want to be distracted. Thirdly, we realize that we have a great job, that being the Great Commission. I want to look at one last thing here this evening, and that we find in verse number 11. Bible says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee," now here's what I want to look at for a few minutes, "why stand ye gazing?" Why stand ye gazing? Instead of going, they were caught gazing. Now we need to remember the scene here. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore, you'll be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost." When he had spoken those words, he began to ascend up to heaven. And the disciples, the apostles, the 11 of them at that moment, looking up, and Jesus went up until finally a cloud caught him. They could no longer see him, and they were just standing there gazing up. Until finally, some angels came and said, "Why stand ye gazing? And did you not hear what he said? He said, go." You know, many times in our Christian life, we get caught gazing instead of going. Now, I'm going to be a little rough on some areas here, and I want you to take it in the right context. But you know, many times, you're going to some national conferences and going to some great things and great preaching and great things that are out there today. You know, many times that people go out and instead of going afterwards, they get caught gazing. You know, I'm excited. I like good preaching. But if good preaching doesn't change my action and change my motive, folks, it's not good preaching.
Right. Amen.
I've heard the words, "That'll preach." What do you mean it'll preach? Did it change your action? Did it change your motive? Did it change your direction? Did it make you do more for God? If it didn't, it wasn't good preaching. Good preaching changes our direction. The angels said, "Hey, stop gazing. Get out there going." And they begin to go into the area. Song says, "My house is full, but my fields are empty." Well, you can go to camp meetings. Well, I like camp meetings too. If there's any better good Christian entertainment than a good camp meeting, I don't know what it would be. I mean, I love watching them stand up on pulpits. I love them jumping. I love all that kind of thing. Man, it's exciting. But folks, it's not about getting excited. It's about going. It's not about getting excited. Folks, we have the people that trail around and go to every one of them. They're not going to miss one of them, man. I mean, they take their vacations and they continue going to those conferences. Bible college are full of people today that aren't going anywhere. I mean, they're there, but they're not going. They're missing the point of why they're there.
That's right.
Folks, we need to stop gazing. Start going. Many, many times people say, have you heard this great preacher? I've heard of him, but I haven't heard him. I probably won't hear him. Why? Well, he's not going to come to Mexico. Maybe he ought to, but he's not going to. And I don't have time to run across California and across to Indiana and across over to some other. I don't have that time. We got a job to do. Folks, people are dying. They need to hear about Jesus. I'm not saying those places are wrong. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, if it doesn't motivate us into more action, it's called gazing. It's called gazing. Folks, this is a week in which the missionary politely asks, please don't gaze. Don't get excited this week that others are giving when we're not giving. Be motivated to do something for our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, far too many times, and I don't want a boring service. I really don't. I do all I can to stay away from boring services. But folks, I want people with lives changed. People in action. People more concerned about lost souls than they've ever been before. People more concerned about getting the gospel than maybe buying the next can of Coke. I'm not against Coke. I drink them too. Folks, we need to have an action. So the story ends up with men gazing. So finally, I got popped on the head a little bit here. Now let's get into action. Folks, let's be in action. We're starting a brand new year of Faith Promise Missions. You've done well. They come up with 26,000 or something like that. You folks have given to our family. That's good. But you know what? 2016, we need more. More areas to go. More people to reach. More missionaries to take our place. We must go. We must go. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. We'll turn the service over to the pastor to finish with the invitation this evening. Father, we thank you today for what you've done in our lives this week. Lord, I thank you for this church. Love this church. Lord, I pray that you'd continue blessing this church. Father, this area needs a good church. Pray for Pastor Shearer, for Marcia, for the folks here. Lord, I pray that you'd do a miracle in this place in the years to come. Help us to go and be motivated and turn the world upside down. We thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, heads out, eyes closed, preacher.
Father, I pray tonight that you would certainly help us to quit our gazing. Help us, Lord Jesus, to put the call into our hearts, or may I say back into our hearts. Lord God, help us to not take our time of ease, but Lord God, that we would be encouraged to do right. Lord, you speak to many people different ways, so we trust that you will do it tonight. Heads about, eyes are closed. You're here tonight, and God's speaking to your heart. I don't know what it is. God knows. In fact, some don't know what it is because they don't ask. I never want to be caught gazing. I know I have many times, but I don't want to be caught doing it. First of all, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, why don't you get saved? You're here tonight and you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but you have not followed Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. I'll guarantee you, you'll never do anything for God until you do what He tells you to do. That's a command. You're tonight and you say, "Preacher, God has called me. I've just kind of hesitated. God is speaking to my heart. Why don't you come right now? Let's take care of that tonight." Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. God's speaking to your heart. Why don't you come? I don't know. How long does it take? What does God have to do? He comes in a still small voice. If you're waiting for a lot of noise and a lot of, it's not going to come to you. How about you, children? Would you be willing to give your life to Jesus? Willing to say, "Lord, if you want to be a missionary, I'll be a missionary." You say, "But preacher, I'm just a little guy." That's what God's looking for. Samuel was a little guy. He served God all his life. Hannah said, "Lord, I'll give my child." And she gave God her child, and God turned around and gave her many more. So, but preacher, I just don't know. I've got great plans for my child. I'll tell you, the best plan you ever have is give your child to God. Allow Him to take care of the most safest place your child can be is in perfect will of God. He said, "But preacher, what if they go to some place like Mexico with all the terrible stuff going on there?" I think God's a big enough God to take care of them there as He is any place else. Unless you encourage your children to serve God, they're not going to serve God. Satan's got a lot of things out there, a lot of toys out there to get distracted and doing some stuff. At this time, I'm going to ask you, families, if you or anyone, not just family, children, everybody, that you'd come forward and place your faith, your promise giving. Remember now, I just want to remind you of this. If you are giving, you say, "Well, I'm giving $10 more. Well, tell us the whole thing. Don't, if you're giving 60 now and you're going to add 10 more to it, don't just put 10 on there. What you need to do is put $70. Okay, you understand what I mean? Everybody understand that? Okay, don't say, "Well, I'm upping at $20. Well, this is a brand new thing today, this year. Next Sunday, you'll bring whatever you wrote on that to the Lord. You put on your tithe, and then put MISS, period, and your missions, what you promised for the year, for the week, and that'll be a blessing. So families, if you'd start right now.